Hello and welcome to Somos Padres,
a podcast dedicated to the constant development of our parenting and ourselves.
We are your hosts,
Paulo
and Yesenia. Thanks for joining us as we share our parenting experiences rooted within the context of our own life journey.
In that spirit, we will also be sharing parenting information and the stories of madres and padres out there
who have embraced their own personal evolution as the greatest gift of parenthood.
Here we go. Hello, everybody.
Woohoo! Welcome.
We're back.
We're sort of back, yeah.
We're back after a few weeks of non-releasing.
Oh my God, Paulo, it's been like a month. It's been over a month that we haven't released on our English side.
That's why I say a few weeks.
It's exagerando.
So, yeah. So, we are going to talk about why we haven't released anything.
Yeah, why haven't we released anything? Why haven't we released anything?
You tell me.
Oh, so it's my fault.
Well, life happens.
Life, that's one. Definitely life happens.
Work
happens. We both have full-time jobs. Reminder, that's true.
Children.
We have kids, two of them, that have to do homework every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and academic expectations for children that the teachers have on them.
Yes.
Which is kind of crazy.
We have no academic expectations.
And we
it's
don't.
The teachers.
It's the teachers, not us.
That is true.
So, yeah, I've been wanting to tell you how you felt. Mm-hmm. How you felt after you released that last episode. Because, you know, I want to know because, to tell the truth, a lot of women, especially, uh-huh, are complaining about that it's becoming too much.
Too much what?
Like the topic is everywhere.
You mean
like the Me Too thing?
The Me Too movement. And, well, I mean, I guess it can be triggering, you know, or it can really bring stuff up. So, yeah, it is a lot and you have to like censor or, I don't know, just watch what, you know, information you're taking in and take care of yourself and all that. But yes, I mean, it was a lot for me to release that episode. I'm not going to lie. It was a lot.
So why at that particular moment?
Why did I do it?
Yeah.
Well, I did it because I thought that's what the moment called for. I thought that it just went well with what was happening, with the trial, you know, the testimony, and it just felt like the right time to do it. But, I mean, I don't think you're ever ready, you know, like fully ready to take a step outside into the unknown. You're never fully ready. And that's what I did. I took a step into the unknown. I shared something that I've only shared with a handful of people. I shared it very publicly. I mean, it had ramifications. It's like, yeah, I'm telling my story, but I'm not just telling my story. You know, there are people in my life that may have to answer questions about what happened to me. And that was really hard. And not only was that really hard, it was also like I was standing naked in front of everybody, you know, in a way that I've never done before. I think for me particularly, and I can only speak about what that vulnerability felt like to me, but it was like, I don't know if you guys can imagine, but that happened to me when I was very young, right? And now I'm 39. So just imagine to go from the time that you're, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years old to begin to hardwire yourself for not saying things and not sharing certain things for, you know, for 35 years or so, that's how I've lived my life. And so now stepping outside of that, now having shared it with her, you know, it's not like I, you know, shared it on a like huge medium or anything, but I certainly shared it beyond what I've ever shared it. So it's like I'm standing in front of all these people naked and everybody's looking at me, and that's hard. Yeah. So it's been a hard time for me.
So since that time that we released that episode, like, have you felt anything different? Have you seen yourself in a different way?
Well, I think that I've just become more aware of how much work I need to do, you know? Like, I've just been in a very kind of low place, you know? I felt stuck.
Did you receive any, like, feedback from people?
Yeah, everybody was positive, you know? Everybody was very positive about me sharing, and honestly, reading people say, like, I never thought about parenting this way. I never thought about, you know, cultivating a relationship where my kids felt comfortable talking to me. Like, people want to know these things. I think they want these perspectives, you know, so that was lovely for me. But it didn't take away from how hard it is to live my life, you know, like how hard it is for me to now create. And I don't know. I'm getting hot. I have to take off my sweater. I'm already getting hot even talking here. I can't pinpoint it. I feel like I'm still in this place. I feel like I'm coming out, but I'm still in this place of feeling like stuck, of feeling like I'm just adapting. I'm adapting to this new reality where people know. And here's the thing. I never told people. There was a part of me that didn't tell people because I didn't want people to see me differently. Right?
Yes.
And now it's like, how do I turn that off?
You can't.
Because I feel like if with every post or every sharing or, you know, if you see my name, I don't know. I just feel like you're seeing me differently. And that differently, like you're seeing me wounded or you're seeing me as a victim.
Do you feel like that?
I just think that that's what kept me from saying anything for a long time.
Since the episode was released, did you have any regrets?
Of course. I mean, when we first released it, I like took it down a couple times, you know, from Instagram. Like I didn't.
Oh, that's right.
And then finally I was like, okay, I left it there and I went forward, you know, but it's just a very hard time for me getting used to this new existence. Like, I don't know. I know people see me differently because how can you not see someone differently? But I'm sure people don't see me differently in the way that I think people see me differently, you know?
Have you ever considered that that might be just in your mind?
Yes. But, you know, like I said, imagine that for 35 years, I've been here thinking this thought and it's been keeping me from saying anything. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's hard to get rid of that, you know, it's just hard to adapt. I'm adapting and I'm sure I'm going to get through it. It's part of the process.
It is part of the process.
It's okay, but I'm just letting you guys know it's just hard. It's just hard for me to get back in the mix of things and get back to a new normal.
Yeah, for me, I just thought to myself, like, you just need to let it be. and mm-hmm. be as a support if I needed to be as a support. Mm-hmm. Because you had to walk the line and you had to walk the, like, Rene Brown, like...
My path.
Your path and alone in the wilderness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, alone in the wilderness.
Do you think that has broadened your perspective in certain topics or issues?
I mean, I think it... I already had great respect and awe of people that share their stories so, you know, fearlessly. And now I know it's not fearlessly. It's not like you're not afraid, but they just plow through. I'm just in awe of other people that do this, and I know that this is part of my process. And you know, going to Evolve has, you know, was good for me, because, you know, Shefali talked a lot about, you know, freedom. Authenticity is freedom. It's just that, you know, there's freedom, like, yes, there's a level of freedom that comes with sharing your story, but it's not like you immediately feel the freedom of that story. And so for me, I'm just in a process of, you know, moving towards how do I get to just feeling that full freedom of, you know, of owning my story. I don't know. I probably just don't own it. And here's why I say that. And I'll try to do this without, like, completely breaking down. But I know that when I released that previous episode, I talked about how it felt. I said, I don't want you guys to, you know, DM me or comment on how brave I am. Like, I'm sharing this because my story has purpose. And it's true. That's how I got through. That's the frame of mind that I needed in order to share the story, was to be able to frame it as, look at what I learned from this story about the kind of parent that I want to be. It was like, I couldn't share it unless I coupled it with a greater message for all, you see? And I remember I was sitting here and we were having wine with the amazing Salisa Loesa, and I was talking to her about this because it was bugging me in my brain, because I knew that I couldn't share it if it was just for the sake of sharing it, you see. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. I couldn't share it. I couldn't say it if it wasn't tied to a greater message, you know, as if just saying it for the sake of saying it, just for me, wasn't good enough.
But how can you say something like that, like share something like that just for the sake of saying it?
Well, I think that you can.
Do you think there's some women out there that they just share things like that?
Yeah, I think that some people share for the sake of, this is my story. And there doesn't have to be a greater lesson necessarily tied to it. I'm just sharing it because it's liberating to me. Maybe some people do. But see, I didn't share it that way. I shared it as, look, this happened to me. I was molested. But you know what? What I want you guys to take from this is that you need to cultivate a relationship where your kids are not afraid to talk to you. Yes. Like, I got that from my story, but I wasn't, como les dijera, it's like I didn't value myself. I wasn't good enough. Just to tell you that I'm going to come on this podcast and I'm going to tell you guys that I was molested, and I'm going to tell you because I need to tell you, you know, because somehow just the fact that I'm just doing it for myself isn't valuable enough. That's not good enough. Mm-hmm. I am not good enough. Do you see? Like, that is the, like, story in my, it's so limiting, you know, the fact that I couldn't do it just for me.
Yeah, it has to be, it had to be with a purpose.
Yes. Yes. If it's not, if there's not this greater purpose, and that, you know, I don't know, like, you know, good or bad, I, that was the only way I was able to get through it. But, you know, I don't know whether that's good or bad. I'm just telling you guys, that's how there, I do think that there's, you know, something to be said about the fact that I didn't think it was good enough to share that with you guys, unless, you know, just to share it for the sake of sharing it just for me wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
It's like I'm putting a value on myself.
And I have to tell you that I've seen the value of what you're trying to accomplish as a mother to your children. Because Paolo now, he has like, he has tell you things that he wouldn't share with anybody but you, because you have cultivated that relationship with him, that like trusting relationship where he knows he's not going to be judged with whatever he says, that you're going to support him no matter what. And when you tell me those things that he's saying, I'm like, wow, that is powerful. Now you are becoming like a support system to deal with whatever issues he comes to face in his life.
Yeah.
And I see now that power.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I think it helps us, you know, because he's still young and, you know, he's 10. We still have some time with him where we can help him along in his path before it's, you know, past, you know, that time where it would be a lot harder. So yeah, it feels good when he tells me things that I feel like, wow, that's such a gem.
Yeah.
Or when he cries, even when he cries, you know, to me, it's so beautiful when he gets to that point and he just breaks down, he cries, and then he tells us like what he's feeling and what's in his heart. Like, to me, it's just the most beautiful thing ever.
Yeah. And for me, whenever he does that, I'm like, oh my God, now me, what can I do? What can I do to actually build that relationship with my kids? Because you're really good at it.
And I'm not really good at it.
No, you're really good at it, actually. Yeah. You have become really good at it. And now I'm like, wow, if he's not like, he doesn't feel safe telling me things, that means that I'm lacking something somewhere. And I really want to appreciate you because you talk to me and you let me know, Paolo, what's up? How come Paulito is not telling you these things? And those are things for me like heads up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, think about this. Yeah, like, reflect on this. Because time is just flying by.
It is. I mean, man, Paulito's 10. He's 10, and he's not going to be with us. I mean, we're past half his life. I mean, if he goes off to college at 18, I mean, really. Yeah. You know, we don't have that much more time with him.
So, yeah, I've seen the results of cultivating relationships.
Yeah.
Trusting relationship. So now tell us, how did it go with the Evolve conference?
Yes. Let's talk about Evolve, because I feel like for those of you that, you know, may know or do not know about the conference.
I didn't attend the conference this year.
You did not.
No, I didn't.
You did not attend the conference. And to be quite honest, guys, I was not going to attend the conference either. This year.
What made you go to the conference?
Well, I kind of went in to the conference feeling like Shefali made me go. I'm just going to be honest. I felt like Shefali made me go because she said that she was going to give some priority or something like that to people that wanted to do her, her coaching institute. So now she is launching a coaching institute for people that want to be conscious parent coaches. Anyway, she said that she wanted to launch this coaching institute and she was going to give priority. So I felt like, oh man, now I got to go because I'm considering being a parent coach. So now I'm going to have to go to this institute. So I really felt, I mean, she really didn't, you know, make me go. But I had like a sense of FOMO about it. So I went a kind of a little bit reluctantly to go, I'm being honest. I did have some feeling like we've been to it 2 times already. I feel like I've learned what I need to learn kind of thing. And I just really felt like, nah, I'm going to skip it this year. So I went with that in mind. But I have to tell you guys that she still brought it. You know, Shefali still brought it. I think that there's such a beauty for me in watching Shefali evolve. I know I'm talking like Shefali, like as if I know her. Dr. Shefali Sabari. It's so interesting and cool to watch her evolve from that very first conference to last year's conference when you and I went together to this conference. There was something really beautiful, and I feel like every time she comes...
What is that? What was that something?
Well, I think that she allows herself to become a little bit more vulnerable and raw every single time.
Oh.
I think that she becomes more comfortable with that and sharing herself with those of us that are there, you know, in the moment. I would say that... that this conference, what I got from it was that she was really talking about freedom. You know, I think that was one of the major themes that resonated for me was this idea that you were on this path. If you are on the spiritual path, ultimately, this is a path that is laid out for you. And you have got to free yourself. You've got to free yourself from every single thing that's holding you back. You have to unattach. You have to understand that you are on a path that only you will understand and only you can follow. And our loved ones are more than welcome to come along. But it's probably safe to say that not all of them can, or maybe not any of them can, you know, because we're just all on this path. She also kind of addressed, I felt like she was talking to me on day two, because she actually started day two by saying that somebody had gone up to her.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
What did she say when people said, told her, are we going to get something new this year?
Yeah, right. So I think somebody actually went up to her and said, hey, so is this conference going to be different than last year's?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I've been to all your other conferences. Is this one going to be different? Right? And she was pretty offended by it and ticked off by it. And she probably wasn't offended by it. Mm-hmm. I think she was just like, it's probably not the right word, but she was kind of like, get conscious about what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what she started day two with was, you know, I had this person that came up to me and said that. She said, as if you are here to get something. Just understand that concept as if you are here to get something, as if she can give you something.
But isn't it like what this like a system in our society that we have established is teaching us?
Yes. You always think like, I'm going to go to this workshop and I'm going to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, like I'm going to get all these different things. When you walk out of here, you're going to have 10 strategies for this and you're going to have da 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 da, you know?
But that's the cycle in a lot of places now.
Yes. I think that's the way that most systems work, is that you're coming here and I'm going to impart something and you're going to walk out of here with something, with these tools or these things. But what she is offering you, what she is saying is, there is nothing that I can give you. I can only point you back within.
And that's what I love about Dr. Shefali.
Yeah.
I can only point you within, because to tell you the truth, there's nothing that I can teach you that I already don't know within.
Yes. And she, you know, came back to that. And it was so interesting, because as soon as she said the words, like, as soon as she started with this story of like, oh, you know, as if I have something to give you, I immediately thought about my 10-day meditation retreat of Vipassana, and how everybody goes to the exact same 10 days. Like, listen, guys, everybody around the world is experiencing the same 10-day meditation retreat. Like, exactly the same. You watch the same videos. You listen to the same meditation on day one instructions. The same instructions, day one, day two, day three, day four. They're the same instructions. You have the same schedule. You're experiencing the exact same thing every 10 days. And when you go back, you experience the same thing again. And yet, every time people go,
they experience something different.
They experience something different.
And that's what I love about Dr. Shefali, because she, when she starts talking, you know right away, and she communicates very clearly. Mm-hmm. It's just exquisite. How she does it. Mm-hmm. She right away lets you know that she's not the sage on the stage.
Yeah.
She's there just to lead you to your higher self.
Yes. She is there to point you back to what you need to learn about yourself, about your path, about where you are going.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, that's the thing. So she was basically saying to me, wake up, girl. If you don't get anything out of this, it's because you're stuck in the same place.
Exactly.
If you walk out of here with the same information, it's because you haven't figured it out yet. Mm-hmm. You're stuck in the same spot. It's not about me. It's about you.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, like, how when last year when I came out of it, it's just mm-hmm. like how you start questioning the things that you've done and the things that you've said, you yeah. come out questioning yourself.
Absolutely. It's all about you.
And reflecting. And that is powerful.
It is. And I think for me, the theme of this year was all about worthiness. You know, like, you know, and going back to my whole, like, sharing of that story, I didn't feel worthy to share that story for me. Do you see? Mm-hmm. That is what's playing out for me in this moment is freaking wake up, Yesenia. Yes, you are worthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, wake up, right? But I remember, you know, thinking about, you know, you have to apply to be part of, you know, to be one of the coaches. And I'm over here really, like, stressing out about, am I worthy enough to carry Shefali's message? Am I worthy enough? You know, like seriously, this was, I didn't realize that's what I was doing. It came to me like towards the end, like, wake up, Yesenia. You are over here worried about whether you are worthy to carry Shefali's message. Girl, wake up. You don't feel worthy to carry your own message. I cannot carry Shefali's message.
Nope.
Only Shefali can carry her message. Mm-hmm. I will never carry her message.
Yes.
I can only carry mine. And until I feel worthy to carry my own message, like, forget about it. Mm-hmm. You see me here? This is me not feeling worthy of my own message because I couldn't share it with you guys unless I thought it was good enough for other people.
Yeah.
So it's all about worthiness for me. You know, if at the beginning of the year, that should have been my word, worthiness, because that's what I'm struggling with.
You cannot
with.
Go back because you were not ready for that moment.
I know, yet. I know. It's like, yeah, let's set a New Year's resolution right now in November.
So remember, people, whenever
you work on worthiness.
Whenever we say, like, I should have done this. No, you didn't do it because you were not ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's this is the last thing that I want to share about Evolve. I'm not going to look at my notebook anymore. It's the last thing I want to share. And it was so amazing to, you know, it was a moment when Shefali was super vulnerable with all of us. And I think they asked her the question of like, look, I'm getting all like emotional. It's not even my story. It's Shefali's story. But the narrator in the morning asked her, what was she still struggling with, you know? And so what Shefali shared is her current struggle is that she recognizes that her closest family members, like her parents and her brother and her husband, these four people in her life that are, you know, her closest family members, that they don't understand her evolution. They don't understand her path because they know her from before. So she actually shared how when she was young and in India, you know, she probably around 12, I think she said she was 12 when she first realized, I don't belong here. These are not my people. I don't belong here. And she asked her dad, like, I want to go to America. I want to go to America. And he was like, no, we have to wait until you're 18. And then she turned 18 and he was like, no, 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 you're not ready or whatever. So he didn't actually, you know, get everything ready for her to be able to come to America until she was 21 or 22. I can't remember, 21 or 22. And finally, at that age, she came over here. So, and then after that, she never went back, right? But the Shefali that her parents and her brother remember is the mischievous Shefali, the Shefali that would go out and not follow rules or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. But it wasn't this spiritual, serious Shefali. Then she came to America, and even when she was here, she said that she had her friends who were, you know, very spiritual friends, right? That were looking for enlightenment, that were asking these big questions. And then she had her friends that were, she kind of laughed and said, you know, that were this other Shefali, but I can only imagine that she meant it was the party Shefali, mm-hmm. It was the drinking, maybe Shefali, who knows, good time, not spiritual at all.
Not spiritual at all. Yeah.
Just in the world, Shefali, right?
Like kind of enjoying both halves of this world.
Right. And she kept those two sides of herself and those two groups of friends separate. And so she says that when at some point they met together and they were like, I don't know that Shefali. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. For each other, they didn't know that other side. Mm-hmm. Her spiritual friends didn't know her, like, fun side, I mm-hmm. guess, or, you know, whatever, more liberal side or whatever.
Yeah.
And her, you know, other friends didn't know her spiritual side, right? So she said that, you know, she does feel bad for her husband because her husband never knew that spiritual Shefali. He married her not knowing that she had this other side to her. So, you know, she does talk about how she feels bad for her husband, you know, for all of that. But ultimately, she's at a place in her life.
Because at home, she's more spiritual?
Well, now she is,
mm-hmm.
right? In her life, she is. She's unattached to form, mm-hmm. which she would, you know, this is language that Shefali would say. She's unattached to form. So she doesn't attach to, you know, gender norms that are very typical in her country or whatever. You know, she doesn't like celebrating holidays or celebrating birthdays or celebrating, you know, all these things. She doesn't do it. She's like, because that's just ridiculous to her. She's like, that's just form.
Mm-hmm.
She's unattached to all of that. I know her in previous years, we've heard from her about her family, how her family is like, honey, you shouldn't make more money than your husband. You know, that's going to make him uncomfortable kind of thing. And you don't need to write any books, honey, you know, and that kind of thing. They try to, you know, try to keep her small so that her husband doesn't feel threatened at all. Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of things. Those kinds of, you know, we've heard her talk about in the past. So I do think that there's a level of understanding for her now that she's on this ship. And when she was talking about this, she started crying because she's like, they tell me we don't know this, Shefali. And she's like, but I'm here. This is the same Shefali. But they're not where she is.
Mm-hmm.
They're not where she is. And
they don't see the world like through her eyes.
Exactly. And she's like, but I can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hold myself back. You know, in my evolution, she says, my only sacred contract is with my child. You know, the only one that I think she's not willing to leave behind is her daughter, because she feels like I have a sacred contract with her. So she keeps going. And it was so cool because I did the meditation add-on, and she did this amazing guided meditation at the end, which, you know, I've shared with you guys, I'm not really good with guided meditations. I much prefer Vipassana, like meditation on your own kind of thing. But she did do this amazing guided meditation at the end where she had people visualize, you know, first you had to visualize your someone that you're having conflict with, and then see them as their inner child. And then you brought forth your father or mother, and you saw them as their inner wounded child, and then set them aside, and then saw your mother, father, you know, whichever order mm-hmm. you're going in. Then you brought in your children and you saw them as their inner wounded child. And then you brought in your partner, saw them as their inner wounded child. And then she said, and then you start walking forward. And you're walking forward because you're probably ahead of them. Maybe you're ahead of them. And when you're on your own path, you are. She's like, and they're rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that,
I was like, wow.
Wow. Just that line, and they're rooting for you. I got that in such a deep way because I was like, holy moly, it's true.
You might think that you're leaving them behind, but no.
Their higher being is rooting for me.
Yes.
They are.
The true essence.
Their true essence, as you would call it, is rooting for me to keep going because it, in some way, it can awaken those that are behind you.
Yes.
You know, but you don't know it. You, in this form, you think like, I can't leave them behind. I can't go forward. But you got to. They're rooting for you.
Yeah. It's like, we need those Kaepernicks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, they may see themselves like, shoot, nobody is following me, nobody is supporting me. But we need those kind of people
mm-hmm.
that are willing to stand by themselves for mm-hmm. a bigger cause, bigger than themselves.
Totally.
Yep. So now, we're releasing a few podcasts in Spanish.
We are, FYI. We are taking Somos Padres to Español.
Yeah, to Spanish. Hopefully we or us or you can do a great job of doing those podcasts, because it's actually a really big challenge.
It is a big challenge. I mean, just the technological side has been a challenge.
Just the technology side, it's been a challenge, because a lot of the sites don't allow you to have like bilingual podcasts.
Yeah, like podcasts with the same name.
Or podcasts with the same name, because you need to have like a different name. But yeah. What if you have the same name, but it's just bilingual?
Yeah.
There's some sites that don't allow you to do that, because they use the same feed. And the same feed includes the same name with the same authors. Yeah. So that's a challenge.
It's been a little bit of a challenge.
And then the other challenge is obviously, how can you translate this information that hasn't been translated into Spanish?
Well, I mean,
a lot of it.
Yeah, it probably has been translated, but we've done the search.
We've done the search for a lot of these books, and no.
Yeah, so in any case, we're working on it. We're starting with the Somos Padres summer series. So if you haven't heard, you can go on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher. No, sorry, Spotify.
So for Spanish, it's only iTunes and Spotify.
Oh, no Google Play? I think we just have one episode on Google Play.
Yeah, there's like one episode
on Google Play. Only one episode in Spanish on Google Play, but we're working on it. But you can go ahead, and obviously you can always grab the episodes from our website.
Site.
Yes.
Our website, they're always there.
But please share any of your, anybody that you know that would prefer the Spanish content. We're going to start producing episodes in Spanish, and we have a couple of friends lined up to join us to add to the conversation of parenting in Spanish.
Yep, I believe it's necessary.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll be back soon with new content. I'm sure this is going to open the floodgates so that we just get it going, and for myself at least, just keep moving forward, and I'll keep sharing with you guys about my journey and our journey.
Yep.
Thanks so much.
No, thank you so much for listening. Hasta la próxima.
Hi. If you like this podcast, please share it with your friends and family.
You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and please leave a review. It is a super, super important in order to help spread the message.
You can follow us, our parents, on Instagram at iam.isenia, at palomenchaca, and at somos.barbers.
You can also subscribe to their newsletter on their website at somos-padres.com.
Gracias!